You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. And we already gave you Matchup Wednesday, and we're changing things up a little bit this week with the stretch run of the fantasy football season. We didn't have a Thursday show, and part of it is because we have so much action that goes into the weekend now post-Thanksgiving. So what we're changing it up to is Focused Friday, where we're really going to lock into the last-minute things you need to know, looking at DFS prices, updated news and notes, injuries, and all that. So we thought we'd change it up a little bit, but still give you some good insight to close the week. And to help me with that later in the show on Focus Friday, appropriately named, will be the director of fantasy for Pro Football Focus, Jeff Ratcliffe. He'll be back on the show to break down three matchups here for us and our version of the three and out segment this week. So week 13 will start with what we saw first on Thursday Night Football, break that game and kind of put it in the books here. I think the way to sum that up is very pleasing for the Cowboys with lower expectations and very disappointing for the Redskins with high expectations. So Dak Prescott there rebounded here, two TDs, no picks, only 102 yards passing. That's because the Cowboys were able to run all over the Redskins. So Alfred Morris came through if you played him, 127 yards and a TD on 27 carries. So he dominated the backfield here. Rod Smith took a lesser role with the game flow not playing his favor, but he still got in the end zone. So he still got 8.7 points for you there. Neither was a factor in the passing game, but it doesn't matter. The Cowboys just kind of said, we're going to go nuts running. And that's exactly what happened here with those two backs. And when those guys run, and whether it's Ezekiel Elliott or that committee, you know that Dez Bryant and Jason Witten are going to have good positions to score. They did both in this game. Witten only one catch, but it was an 8-yard touchdown, so that counts. Dez Bryant, one of his best games in several weeks, 5 catches on 7 targets for 61 yards and a TD. So Cowboys kind of the old school approach here, and it worked. For the Redskins, it was highly disappointing overall. Kirk Cousins, yeah, he got the two TDs, but it was a disaster because he had two picks and a lost fumble here. This offensive line got to him a lot with the issues there up front. It really cost him in the end, and a lot of sacks, picks. So the Redskins right now are beat up. Their special teams look pretty bad also in giving up that return touchdown to Ryan Switzer. So really bad. Samaje Perine really was bad for you in this one. He did survive a concussion protocol to return to the game, which could have made it a lot worse, but 12 carries, 38 yards, 3 receptions, 31 yards. And after the game got out of hand, it was a lot of Byron Marshall in there as well. So things did not go the way we expected with game flow. I did actually like the Cowboys to win this game, but not to explode for this 38-14 victory. So Cousins, I think you were expecting a lot more from this, and in a league and a season with a lot of big QB performances, at this critical time of the season, to have a sub-20 in a 6-point per passing TD league is very disappointing for sure. Now, as we go into what's left here on the schedule, 15 games on Sunday and Monday, we're switching up how we do the lineup things that we usually tell you. We're going to look more from a DFS perspective and see the prices across the board and see where we can exploit some values there. I think one guy that you have to look at for sure at quarterback as a pretty good value here is Josh McCown. I look at him on FanDuel. He's 7,700. He's a little bit more expensive there for me. So I think with DraftKings, he's a little bit nicer here. He's actually the same price as injured Aaron Rodgers at 5,500. So I think when you're looking at DraftKings versus FanDuel, I think McCown is your value there on DraftKings and too rich for me on FanDuel. When we look at a good value, maybe going the other way, I think you definitely have to look here what you could get from Marcus Mariota at 7,400 on FanDuel. I think you look at him, he's 6,200 there on DraftKings, but I like him in relation to the salaries of the other quarterbacks there. I think he does really well at home. I think he's going to run the ball pretty well himself and throw those couple touchdowns as well. So Mariota is the guy that is my FanDuel value, and McCown is my guy that is the DraftKings value. Now, at running back, I think the value is one of the same. It's Marshawn Lynch, and you got to play him this week. I mean, they're going to be run heavy again. He got close to 30 touches last week. He's only 4,800 on DraftKings, so he's behind guys that I would not want to play this week, such as Adrian Peterson, and I don't really love Kenyon Drake to be super, super good, but he's right there priced with Jay Ajayi and a little bit ahead of Derrick Henry, $100 more on DraftKings at 4,800. He is just a guy that I expect things to happen. It's his time of the year. That also lines up well for Marshawn Lynch, and he's ridiculously cheap as well, 6,200 on FanDuel. So when you look at that, he's the dual kind of bargain play that I like. In terms of guys that I like in the same game, I think you have to look at Jordan Howard and Carlos Hyde. 7,500 and 7,000 on FanDuel there for Howard and Hyde. I mean, Howard has the best matchup of the week by far against this San Francisco run defense. You look on DraftKings, it even gets better for both of them. 6,500 for Howard and 59 for Hyde as well. So, yeah, you could pay up for the high-end backs, but it's not totally cake for some of the top guys. Le'Veon Bell is a tough matchup there against the Bengals. They're pretty good against the run. The Panthers have been very good there. They get Alvin Kamara. The Cardinals can be tough with Todd Gurley. So you look at Kamara and Ingram there in New Orleans, Bell and Gurley. Leonard Fournette, we do love that matchup against the Colts. We're not sure of the volume. LeSean McCoy, a little bit banged up going into the Patriots game. So when you look at these so-called bell cow high-touch backs, you immediately go to Howard and Hyde in this matchup between the 49ers and Bears because you know both of them are going to be involved in the passing game for sure. And that's kind of what you have to look at there. I think when you go to wide receivers, and we'll look at the prices here, that you have to look at some of these Jets receivers too. And Jermaine Kearse is a guy that I don't mind stacking up here. He's a good value for sure. He's only 4,300 on DraftKings, so you like that price for sure for Kearse. And if you do that and stack him at 5,900 on FanDuel, so he's a little bit cheaper to get in your lineup there on that format. But Jermaine Kearse is a guy that I think is a sneaky little play as well at a wide receiver this week. I think he's my super bargain. Now, in terms of where I'm going to invest, if I'm going to go higher, I think you have to look at Adam Thielen at 7,500 on DraftKings and 7,800 on FanDuel. You think that's a little bit expensive, but I think he could definitely go off in this game. And you can see the prices have finally adjusted where he's being treated as a wide receiver one, and he should be. And we'll get more into that with Jeff as we break down that Falcons-Vikings game this week. But the price is excellent for him, and I think you look at the production. You have Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Green. These are kind of the main guys there that people are looking at that have been on fire. But Thielen is a guy that we've seen explode before and just comes in a little bit less than those guys that you can look at. Another guy that at wide receiver where we expect maybe a breakout game is Michael Thomas of the Saints. He's 6,900, very affordable on DraftKings, and 7,600. So you pay a little bit more. So I would lean to more of him on DraftKings for that price. 76 on FanDuel is a little bit too much for me for Michael Thomas. He did have a big game against the Panthers the first time, but it's just hard to go there. One guy we'll look at on both formats is Mike Evans and how much you should trust him. We'll break that Packers-Buccaneers game as well, but 7,500 for Evans on FanDuel, 7,100 on DraftKings. So you got to play him, I think. This matchup is too good. The weird thing, he's not being able to push past 100 yards in most games. He's leaving a lot of touchdowns on the table, but this could be a very similar situation to Julio Jones, that you've been waiting for the big game and your tournament and cash games, and you keep putting him in there. But I think this could be finally the week for Evans where you totally trust him at that spot. Now we go to tight ends, and I'll mention a couple ways I'm looking at this. And it's been the case with this position all year long in either DFS or year-long fantasy. You have to go for either a big-name guy or you have to go for the bargain guy. And I think you can pay up. I think Rob Gronkowski is a definite guy you can pay up for. 8,100 there is quite expensive, but I think he can come through again like he did last week. He typically plays well against the Bills in his hometown. So 8,100, if you're going to pay up, I think you go all the way. Zach Ertz, also with no Cam Chancellor and a banged-up Earl Thomas, not too bad. He saved 600 there, but I think Gronk is a little bit more trustworthy. As this time of year, the running game is going well for the Patriots, and we know Martellus Bennett is on injured reserve. So Gronk could be huge again for you in the second straight week, and that's where you have to go. When you're going a little cheaper, you got to look at two guys. Hunter Henry on FanDuel is 5,400. I really like him this week. The Browns tight end matchup is very good. They used him a lot last week, so he is a definite guy that you can look at. And he's cheaper than Jared Cook, who's at 5,500. So Jared Cook, definitely a lot of people are going to be on because the Raiders receivers are hurt. The Giants give up a lot to tight ends. But if you want to go for a little bit different, but still maybe get the same results a little bit cheaper, you can go for Hunter Henry. And that's even more true on DraftKings, where Jared Cook is 5,400 and Hunter Henry is 47. So that is one way to go for sure. Now, if you're going to go a little bit riskier, but I still kind of like this, especially when you look at the prices and the ability that it gives you at other positions, 5,200 Julius Thomas is on FanDuel. On DraftKings, he's even a nicer value there, 3,500. So you look at this matchup against the Broncos, and they give up a lot to the tight end. There's a revenge factor here for Julius Thomas. I know this is kind of an overblown storyline, but you can't totally ignore it. And you have to think, based on his usage last week, 5 for 52, Jay Cutler coming back. You know they want to get him a big part of this offense. Jarvis Landry's a little bit banged up. We know that Chris Harris Jr. is on the other side. So Julius Thomas is a excellent little sneaky play for you. And again, you have to go cheap to find the right guys. I think it can be hit or miss at tight end, especially, and that's why you have to do that. Because if you pay for the guys in between, you're just going to end up throwing away some money and have about the same upside and floor as some of the guys underneath. And you always have to look for that in this position. And if you look at the stats there in terms of running back points allowed and tight end points allowed, I think they're the most reliable source as you go over deep in the season, over the course of the season. Those stats are typically not as misleading because there are a lot of good data in terms of coverage and linebacker play that supports all of that. Now, I'll give you a couple things here that you can do with defense. 4,600 is the Oakland Raiders on FanDuel, and they're a little bit pricier there in relation to the field, but still a good bargain at 3,100 on DraftKings for you. And the Raiders, this defense has a lot of potential. Khalil Mack is rolling here. The Giants' offense is really breaking down. Geno Smith is in there. The black hole, things can weirdly happen there. So the Raiders are like my favorite sleeper play. I'm putting them in a lot of lineups this week, so I think you definitely have to go there. It's not a great week for a lot of the elite defenses. When you look at the Eagles and Seahawks are playing each other, the Saints have some good value at times, the Panthers do as well. They're playing each other there, so it's not the greatest week for that, so I think you have to dig deep for some little sleeper plays, and I think that Raiders team is right in the wheelhouse of that. And as I mentioned, Marshawn Lynch is such a good value. That's such a good team up here where Lynch and the Raiders defense, typically good stack to go that way. The game flow should be in the Raiders' favor as Lynch helps them control the clock. So that's how you kind of break that down. If you can get Lynch and the Raiders defense is a good stack here, and couple that maybe with a top quarterback, I would say anything with the Carson Wentz, Alshon Jeffrey, or you look on the other side of that, Russell Wilson, Doug Baldwin, those type of things paired with the Raiders combo could be real good for you this week. So have you checked out all our great podcasts on the Locked On NFL Network? We've got your team beat report in a convenient listening form every day of the week, all year round, to get you up to date and informed with all the insight you need to know about your favorite NFL team. So make sure you're checking out all those great shows, and don't forget about our Locked On NBA channel as well. We have so much good information for you team by team. You're not going to find anywhere else on any other podcast network. Joining me now for Focused Friday is Jeff Ratcliff, the director of fantasy for Pro Football Focus. How's it going, Jeff?
Fantastic. I can't believe we're in week 13. You know, fantasy playoffs about to start. The season's flying by and we're already in December. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's almost here. The fun time where actually people are going to get paid and rewarded for what they've done all season. And this week, as you said, it's very critical. A lot of teams trying to get into the playoffs. Some teams trying to get that number one seed. Three intriguing games here that a lot of questions from people I've seen on Twitter. The Vikings-Falcons game. And the first question is it going to be a spot where you feel good about the Falcons running backs in this one? I know a lot of people are kind of down on them, but it seems like they always come through at home no matter how tough the matchup is.
Yeah, that's the biggest concern, obviously, because Minnesota has done such good against opposing running backs. Right now, they have yet to allow a backfield over 100 yards, so that's a big concern. But I think if you're sitting there and you have Devontae Freeman and you've been waiting the last couple weeks to get him on the field, you're going to have to use him in season-long leagues. Tevin Coleman moves back to a flex option. It's not to say, just because it's a bad matchup, it's not to say that these guys don't necessarily go off. And the great example, that was Marvin Jones on Thanksgiving. That was supposed to be a bad matchup for him, and he went off. So I think you know, the percentage plays, you look at Devontae Freeman as a back end RB1. Obviously, Julio Jones, after what he showed last week, should be in folks' fantasy good graces. Matt Ryan is a little risky, though. He's more of a back end quarterback one for me this week. And, you know, if you're a little bit desperate at tight end, maybe a look at Austin Hooper. He has upside, but tight end is just so volatile across the board that, you know, you're almost just throwing darts every week at this point.
Yeah, on the Vikings side, they actually might get a huge break here. You already, in your wide receiver cornerback matchups as your Pro Football Focus, you already like the matchup with Stephon Diggs and Desmond Trufant. Now Desmond Trufant has got a concussion. Looks like he might miss the game, as well as Brian Poole in the slot with a injury as well. How much does that bump up both Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen in this game?
I already liked Adam Thielen a ton because Poole has given up the second most receptions this season. So that boded very well for Adam Thielen. It'll bump them up for sure. This game is really interesting, especially if the Falcons can actually generate some offense. You know, that's that old correlation thing. So if they can generate offense, then Minnesota's going to have to keep punching, and they're going to have to keep using the passing game. If Atlanta somehow falls flat, then we may see a lot of Latavius Murray. That's the one concern for the passing game. But I have Adam Thielen as a top five play this week. It's hard to deny it. And then as Stephon Diggs, it's been a little frustrating, but the matchup finally gets him, you know, back on track here. He has wide receiver one upside. Now, I'm not going to rank him in that spot this week. I still have him as a wide receiver two, but any given week, he has such an enormous ceiling. With that secondary banged up, it's definitely a good thing.
All right, we'll go to another game that has been intrigued. The Battle of the Bays, an old NFC Central matchup, the Buccaneers and Packers. And a lot of people are interested in this one, especially with Jameis Winston coming back and Brett Hundley seeming to have a competent, above competent game against Pittsburgh. How do you kind of see this one playing out, and how much do you trust Jameis Winston coming back from that shoulder?
Well, it's going to be tough to trust Jameis Winston as a fantasy starter this week. It's one of those where he should be owned. You know, if he got dropped somehow during the course of this, he should be owned. But I try and look elsewhere. Even though this is a favorable matchup on paper against the Packers pass defense, it is on the road. It is in Lambeau Field. It is December. So there's and Tampa Bay is a warm weather team. So there's a lot of factors at play there. I think, though, if anything, for Mike Evans, this is definitely a good thing getting him back on the field. Mike Evans back as a top five option. Of course, we have to pay attention to the running back position. Doug Martin concussed. Looks like he'll miss this one. So we'll see a lot of Jaquizz Rodgers, but then we'll also see Peyton Barber in short yardage situations. So that takes any upside out of Jaquizz Rodgers for this week. I really don't want to use either of those guys if I could get away with it. Cameron Brate also popped up on the injury report on Thursday, so he could miss this one. You know, anytime we see guys pop up on a Thursday, that's typically not good. If Brate misses, OJ Howard becomes very interesting at the tight end position. A lot of people looking for some help there. Now, Green Bay does really – they do a good job against tight end, but Howard would be in a position to see a lot of volume, so he becomes an intriguing DFS option, intriguing season-long option as well.
Yeah, on the Packers side, there are two key questions here. Aaron Jones looks like he has a shot to return in this one from the knee injury. The first question with that is Jamal Williams. Do you trust the Packers to keep feeding him that value? And the other – thing is, this Bucs secondary is so bad. Jordy Nelson, is this a time for him maybe that the matchup is going to help him get going, Brett Hundley, especially with Davante Adams being so hot on the other side?
I don't know about that. It's just tough to trust Jordy Nelson, especially if you're in a situation this week where you're kind of win and get in or win and get a bye for the playoffs. I don't know if I want to trust Jordy Nelson. I love Davante Adams in this matchup. You know, he'll see Robert McClain most frequently in primary coverage, and that's a favorable matchup there for Davante Adams. So I think he's a top 12 play this week. In terms of the running backs, well, you know, the Packers have shown this season that they're willing to move right along. You know, nobody's spot is safe. They're not keeping the seat warm for Aaron Jones here. And after what Jamal Williams did last week, now he didn't get a ton done on the ground. He did score as a runner, but he showed some upside, obviously, on that long touchdown reception. So he's pretty much locked in there. And by the way, Jones is not guaranteed to play. He's going to be a game time decision here. So it could be another week where we see a healthy workload for Williams, which would put him in that fringe RB1 conversation.
Okay, the third game is probably not what listeners were expecting, but these two teams have been in total defensive collapse of late. The Dolphins hosting the Broncos. It's a revenge game for Adam Gase. It's a revenge game for Vance Joseph, whatever you want to call it. Could this game be a sneaky source of points? And I'll start with, who do you trust more with the quarterback change yet again for these teams, Jay Cutler and Trevor Siemian?
Oh, boy. I don't know if I can trust either of them particularly here. This one, you know, you look at who can you use. And we know who we can't use from a lot. Like, I don't want to trust the Denver run game right now because we don't know how the touches are going to be distributed. Trevor Siemian, I think, would be desperation, if anything, because is this a Matt Moore situation? Did he come in and do well because he was the relief quarterback? And then when he's back as a starter, he's going to struggle again. That could be very well what we see there. So the only player I'm trusting from Denver is Demaryius Thomas, and I'm not overly excited even there. He's more of a wide receiver too for me in this matchup. You can throw on the Miami secondary, so at least there's that. From Miami, You know, we talk about players popping up on the injury report. Jarvis Landry popped up on the injury report, so we'll keep a close eye on his knee and if that is anything serious. And remember, this time last week, people were saying, Rishard Matthews, now he'll be fine. No, he's not fine. And so keep an eye on Jarvis Landry. It's tough to trust Devontae Parker, tough to trust Kenny Stills, tough to trust anybody with Cutler under center, maybe trust the Denver defense. And then even Kenyon Drake, who should see the lion's share of carries here. This is one of those, he could go off, you know, he could have a long touchdown run, but it's Denver and they've done a decent enough job against the run this season. So you could see a stat line where Drake, who has shown a very low floor, maybe Drake gets you 17 carries for 14 yards. I mean, that's the floor we're talking about. The ceiling is he rips off an 80-yard touchdown run and everybody's happy. Everything's hunky-dory. So I think it's rough to rely on him as anything more than a back-end RB2. I'd say he's a top 25 play, but he's not a top 20 play.
Well, Jeff, thanks a lot for your insight this week on these three games that have some strange intrigue, especially that last one for some fantasy football players this week. Please tell listeners to Lock On Fantasy Football where they can hear and watch you.
Sure, on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, weekdays 10 to 11 Eastern, and on CBS Sports Network on Sundays on that other pregame show, which is on your cable providers of choice, from 8 a.m. to noon Eastern.
All right, Jeff, thanks a lot, and good luck this week.
You too, Vinny.
Thanks again to Jeff Ratcliffe for joining us, and what we'll do is close out the week here with some key injuries that you need to know so you're ready to make those changes on Sunday if needed. We'll start at quarterback, and there's really not too many things to note here in terms of major developments, but Paxton Lynch, keep in mind he's not playing. It's Trevor Siemian there starting. Matthew Stafford has had an ankle issue all week, but he's going to be good to go for that Ravens game. Cam Newton added a right thumb injury to his right shoulder injury, but he's fine for the matchup in New Orleans. Matt Moore, he's probably not even going to serve as the backup to Jay Cutler with a foot injury. So Cutler starts there, and Matt Moore probably is probably down for a little while. So Cutler's probably going to be your starter the rest of the way in Miami. Tom Brady, that Achilles, still not an issue. He's good to go. Josh McCown, as we mentioned, he's fine. He's got a left wrist, but it's not his throwing wrist, so he's fine for that game. Jameis Winston, the big development that he is returning from his shoulder injury. And as Jeff said, he's a little bit tough to trust there totally, but at least he'll get the ball in the hands of the playmakers you want. Adrian Peterson, they expect him to play. Veteran days of rest there with a neck injury, so he'll be in there. It's a tough matchup against the Rams. Devonta Freeman cleared from the concussion. He's all systems go. Alex Collins had a calf issue early, but he was just resting because they played on Monday night. He's going to play against the Lions. LeSean McCoy popped up with a knee injury, a little bit of soreness there, but he's okay for the Patriots. Christian McCaffrey, a little bit of concern there early with the shoulder, but he's on track to play. Looking at Isaiah Crowell, still a shoulder issue as well for the Browns running back, but he'll be there. He's been running very well, and he'll play against the Chargers. Amir Abdullah looks very iffy to play with the neck injury, so you're going to have to move on away from him. The matchup's not great against the Ravens anyway. So, Theo Riddick, if you were desperate, you could use him there in that one. Lamar Miller has got a knee issue, but he's still good to go there against the Titans. Leonard Fournette, back practicing in full this week, which is a good sign. The ankle is still sore, but he will be in there for the Colts game. Damien Williams is missing it. That's why Drake potentially could see a lot of touches and be very productive there. Doug Martin, we heard about his concussion. It doesn't look good. Along with Rodgers and Barber there, you could see Charles Sims in that committee as well. DeMarco Murray, we'll have to see how this works out. He does have an illness, but he should play through that. Usually doesn't keep players from playing. We'll see if he's a little bit under the weather, if that allows Derrick Henry to see a few more touches against the Texans. We go to our wide receivers, and John Brown missing another game for the Cardinals, so they have to move on from him. They'll probably do a lot of heavy Larry Fitzgerald targeting against the Rams. Julio Jones has been banged up with the ankle, but you know what he did last week. He's fine for the Vikings game. You look at Kelvin Benjamin missing another game for the Bills. Devin Funchess, his replacement there in Carolina, had a toe issue, but he's going to play through it, and he might get a good break against the Saints, and they're banged up. The secondary, Emmanuel Sanders with the ankle, is going to play. Hopefully Trevor Siemian can help his value there in Miami. DeAndre Hopkins still has the foot issue, but he's playing there for you. Marquise Lee still battling the knee, but going to be there in the good matchup for the Colts game. Robert Woods missing another week. Josh Reynolds has an ankle, but he's going to help fill in there and continue to play in that role mostly. Jarvis Landry, we're concerned there with the knee. He's a little bit banged up, but he usually plays through everything, so we expect him to be in there. Chris Hogan, you're going to be out of commission again for your team with that shoulder injury. Robbie Anderson had an ankle, but he's played through that excellently of late. Jermaine Kearse has had a shoulder there in that game. We mentioned Kearse is a good value, but Anderson Kearse should be in there and have a good chance to do damage against that secondary. Sterling Shepard, you're going to get him back against the Raiders. Amari Cooper is on his way to missing the Giants game, along with Michael Crabtree, is suspended. Cooper has a concussion and ankle injury, so he's not going to play. They're making a Derek Carr hard to trust. Alshon Jeffrey still lingering with the foot injury, but he's going to play against the Seahawks. Juju Smith-Schuster looks on track. Only one practice so far of the week, but hamstring looks like he's going to play Monday night if you need him there. DeSean Jackson, after missing practice Wednesday with the foot injury, he's back and almost good to go here. Rishard Matthews, not looking good for him with the two missed practices with the hamstring. That can be a troubling injury, so they have to move on possibly with one of their other receivers, maybe Corey Davis and Eric Decker will get a little bit more targets against that Texans secondary for the Titans in that game. Charles Clay, he always pops up with a knee. He's still fine to play against the Patriots. Greg Olsen, there's a chance he could play despite not practicing on that aggravated foot injury all week. So keep in mind that Olsen, though, could be easily limited with snaps, and Ed Dixon could be popping there if they're not 100% sure on him. Tyler Kroft has had a wrist injury here pop up, but he's expected to play against the Steelers. Kobe Fleener has been ruled out already with a concussion and won't play against the Panthers. George Kittle should return here with the Jimmy Garoppolo combination against the Bears, closer back to Iowa Hawkeyes territory there. Jimmy Graham, ankle issue still there, but they've rested him, practice, managed his reps all week. And last injury there to an offensive skill player that you should look at, Cameron Brate with the hip. I don't really like Brate anyway if he plays in there, even with Jameis Winston returning against the Packers. So there's your rundown of all the key injuries you need to know to close out the week. It's been a great week, and we hope you enjoyed our little change-up here for the end of the week. Change-up Friday from a lineup Thursday made it focused Friday, and hope you enjoyed the insight from Jeff as well. Make sure you're checking out all the great podcasts on the Lockdown Network, and we can't tell you enough how much we love working for this network. So we're glad you're listening. Please subscribe on iTunes and leave a review on there with your Twitter handle, and you can win that PFF Edge subscription with $39.99. And love our tie-in with PFF, and you should too as well. For Locked On Fantasy Football for Week 13, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you on Roundup Monday. Good luck in all your games.